It's the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
I feel good about seeing Coach Jackson after game two in Boston. They were asking him about the phenomenal comeback that the Lakers attempted in the fourth quarter and how that was going to play into game three tonight at home.
The momentum you guys gained towards the end, can you guys carry that over to game three?
No.
So I'm very confident now that I've heard that. I realize that that's all the Lakers needed was a chance to come home and play in front of their fans.
Look, I'm a Laker fan and all, but I think somebody needs to wake up Phil. I'm pretty sure he's not paying attention during the game.
Phil got his team into the NBA Finals. I know. There's only one other coach who's done that this year.
Yeah. Paul Pierce, by the way, he was interviewed about playing in Los Angeles.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.?
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
Yep. Well,
he likes the balls.
Who
Looks
doesn't?
Looks like he's got plans after the game tonight is what it sounds like to me.
So during game one and game two, a certain other NBA team had some stones, some cojones, and decided that during the finals was the time to sell their own season tickets for the NBA.
Funny thing about basketball, just when you think you have it all figured out, just when you think you know what to expect, something happens to change the game, and you suddenly realize anything can happen. It's a great time to get in on the action. Clippers season tickets.
What?
Available now. Visit Clippers.com for details.
Available now, available always, available all the time, available if you walk up game time, you can get them.
Good point.
Really, during the finals? I know they're basketball
fans.
Well,
it is a huge audience that they can reach at that time.
Right.
But aren't basketball fans...
Clippers audience.
Right. Aren't basketball fans more discerning than to accept Clippers tickets? I mean,
right.
Come on.
I mean, basketball fans don't want them. And yeah. Clipper fans have thought the NBA season's been over for a couple of months. But that was only commercial one. There's some more that are set to air tonight.
Oh, are you kidding me? Really?
We got our hands on a couple of them, yes.
Funny thing about basketball, just when you think you've got it all figured out, everything changes. And if you're a basketball fan, you know that tickets for a basketball game can be very expensive. But what if you could see something that's almost like basketball, but not quite? It's a lot less expensive, but if you squint and don't look too hard, it looks something almost sort of like basketball. Clippers season tickets are now available. Sure, the Clippers aren't professional basketball players, but they're really, really close.
Wow.
It is, Clippers are kind of like non-alcoholic beer. They are kind of looks, smells, and tastes sort of like beer, but you're not going to get drug drinking it.
And then here's the other one that they plan on airing tonight. I think this one's during the second half.
For a lot less than it would cost you to watch a real basketball game, you can watch Clippers basketball. Not really basketball, but an incredible simulation. So order your season tickets for the Clippers now. Technically, we can't call it basketball, so we call it Bursketball. Clippers Bursketball. Get your season tickets now. For more information, go to notquitebasketballbutsortofkindoflikeit.com.
Very, very effective commercials.
Sure.
Did you know that Michael Jackson was supposed to perform on the final American Idol? He was set to perform and called 24 hours ahead of time and said, I can't do it.
How would they have had to bump ZZ Top or Bryan Adams to give Michael Jackson a chance to come out?
Yeah, because you don't want to bump either of them. So Michael Jackson said he had stage fright. Now, this is a guy who's
been on stage since he was four.
He was on stage when he was a little kid. He's been on stage his whole life.
Yeah.
He says, quote, I can't do it. Everyone will hate me.
Wow. Everyone already hates him. It doesn't have anything to do with whether he comes out on stage or not.
It doesn't have anything to do with American Idol. I can tell you that right now. It has to do with Jesus juice and little boys.
Yeah, of course.
That might be why people don't like him.
Well, and he's a freak. I mean, to be able to sit and actually look at his face for a length of time, we haven't done that in a long time.
How could he possibly be afraid? I mean, honestly, how could he be afraid?
He's looked in the mirror.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, he's looked at the man in the mirror, come to think of it.
Nice.
We asked producer Alex to light up the great Michael Jackson. It almost made my foot loose.
Come on.
Michael?
Get out!
You okay? You all right, buddy?
The man in the mirror.
Yeah,
see, because that's one of your songs.
That was one of my songs.
That's right.
That's why that's funny, see?
So, what's all that racket in the background there?
It's not racket.
What is it?
What is it? What's going on?
The water dripping off the walls of the cave I'm in right now.
Oh, you're hiding
Why
in a cave?
Are you in a cave?
I'm hiding.
Because you're afraid?
I'm afraid to be in public.
Yeah. Why
but
do you
I'm
think
I'm hiding in a cave?
Right. Right.
Like Osama bin Laden.
Right. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't. I mean, I don't know how that helps anything. I mean,
because I can't dare be in public. I'm afraid everyone will hate me.
Now, is that because of your horrible plastic surgery or because of your child abuse charges?
Neither.
Neither.
Because of all the lies and stories that have been told about me that are lies and stories.
Mm.
And people believe them, and then they turn against me, and I'm just overwhelmed by everyone's negativity.
Michael, when you have done best, when you have benefited from your talent, is when things seem to go well for you. Why not make a good song or make up a new dance or go on tour and make people happy? Why not give people music to talk about rather than all the craziness?
Why don't you make up a new dance, Michael?
Make up a new dance? Okay. Now, the electric iguana.
Like you do sometimes. You used to be an innovator in music and dance.
I made one dance, the moonwalk. That's it.
Yeah. Right, but now you don't do anything. Now you just show up at UFC in a burka. Why don't you get out there and start doing music or video or something and give people something to talk about?
I'm afraid. I'm scared.
I'm scared of?
Just being in public.
Yeah.
Everyone will hate me.
Because of your horrible plastic surgery?
I missed out on so many things that I was going to do and had to back out of last minute.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, American Idol, the finale.
Right.
I was supposed to do that. I had to back out the last minute.
Scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be John McCain's vice presidential running mate.
Really?
Yes, but I had to back out because I couldn't face him.
Yeah.
He wanted someone to make him look blacker. So he wanted me to be vice president.
Because you're more white than he is.
I was going to co-star in the Sex and the City movie.
What?
But well, I
that doesn't
back
make any
out
sense.
At the last minute.
What were you going to do there?
I have a fear of horses.
Oh, no.
I was once kicked by a horse on the Neverland Ranch.
I can see that.
Every time I see Sarah Jessica Parker, I wet myself.
That's a normal reaction.
I can understand. Yeah.
I was going to join the Meet the Kardashians cast.
You're not a Kardashian.
By joining the family?
They were going to adopt me. I was going to be the sixth Kardashian.
Wow. Huh.
And then Bruce Jenner and I could compare plastic surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
Mistakes.
Yeah. I was going to fight Kimbo Slice last Saturday night.
You were not going to fight Kimbo Slice.
I was.
Your ear would have exploded, Michael.
I was going to fight Kimbo.
You were not going to fight.
I was going to fight Kimbo, but I couldn't. I didn't want to be seen in public.
Yeah.
I was going to carry Clay Aiken's baby.
Well,
but I backed out at the last minute.
Why?
He's gay.
Too gay?
Yeah. And I decided not to take the job as Universal Studios fire safety inspector.
Well, that maybe you should have thought about it.
Yeah, maybe I should have done that after all.
That was a bad choice.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Good.
Michael, what's it going to take to get you out of this funk and get you right with God again?
More man in the mirror jokes, I guess.
We're fresh out of there.
Religion in the studios of the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Greg Brett Brooks in the studio with us. Welcome this morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good day.
Tell us about the new Maps of Hell. You got a new version of it coming out, is that right?
Yeah, Greg and I recorded a bunch of new songs acoustically as demos for the next record.
Okay.
And then we had the idea, hey, you know, a lot of times when our songs become well-known, we'll then... And they become well-known electrically. Well, mm-hmm. then, you know, do acoustic versions for the fans. And we thought, you know, maybe a lot of the fans don't realize that sometimes we write these songs acoustically, you know. So we thought about the idea of making an acoustic EP. And then we put some classics on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting that together with New Maps of Hell. So, and I think it's also comes with a DVD. And,
how do you guys write songs? Is it acoustically for the most part, or do you... I don't know how.
I think
you and Brett share the duties, but
yeah. But we basically write separately and then come together and sort of amalgamate our ideas that we came up with separately. And Brett has a lot of acoustic ideas. I mean, he's more the studio guru also, so
right.
I kind of defer to him on that. But I have a nice room at home that with all my acoustic instruments, and that's where a lot of the melodies and the chords come together.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll even write a tune on piano. So
yeah.
Like to see that.
Come on over.
Come now, over anytime is not that exciting.
Now, speaking of rooms in your homes, that's kind of the new way the music industry is working. Is I mean, it used to be you had to get signed by a record label, then you had to sell tens of millions of CDs, or else you would.
Sure.
Now it's all being done at home.
Yeah, yeah, home studios,
Pro Tools, home studios, whatever you got.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Kids across America are able to make really, you know, studio quality recordings in their home, and I think what we're seeing is just an explosion of creativity in the music.
Is it going to be hard to make your way in that kind of world with
cut through
thousands of bands and people out there and not as much promotion or whatever? Is it going to be possible to be a Bad Religion in the future?
I think so. You know, it was really hard to make your way in the old days because you were up against kind of the old gatekeepers, you know, and now everything's broken wide open and the gates are torn down. So, you know,
but everyone's rushing. Yeah. So then,
that's
what do
true.
You do?
I mean, you're gonna there's a very low signal to noise ratio. Granted, however, you know, teenagers have a lot of time, and I think the exceptional things do stand out. You know, I mean, I'm listening to lots of good music all the time, and there's, you know, there's kind of a culture of recommendation out there right now. Kids go on the blogs and the social networks, and they tell each other what they've discovered. And when something's really great, it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a much quicker process than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Pennywise, they got a new CD coming out, and they're going to give it away for free on MySpace.
Those are our buddies, Pennywise. We saw Fletcher the other night in the pit. Hey, Fletch.
He was there for your show?
Yeah.
What do you think about the whole new way that music is going now with giving it away for free? I mean, Radiohead gave it away for what you would pay.
Yeah.
You know, and then now Pennywise is going to give away for a couple of weeks on MySpace.
You know, information wants to be free, and that's how it's going to be, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
There's no way to go back to selling it, really. I mean, is that pretty much everyone has to come to the realization that they're just going to have to start giving that away for free and making money somewhere else?
Or? There's got to be a balance. There's no way to going back to how it used to be, though, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But the balance, you're going to have to be able to get some money for the music.
An example is what Trent Reznor just brilliantly did with his new record, where, you know, he gave it away for free if you wanted it in this way. But if you were a true collector, you could pay some money and get something very unique and special. Or if you had a medium budget, then you could do this and you could get a disc.
That's true. I think I got it for $5. I think that was the medium. One you could get for free, one you could spend $5. Yeah. And then one's like a collector's edition type thing.
Right. So what you do is you kind of provide things for the collectors, and you provide things for the casual listeners, and you provide a few different levels there. And I think that's where it's going. I think that was very, very smart. But it will never be what it used to be, which is really an economy of scarcity, where a few big companies decided what releases were coming out that Tuesday, and that's all you had a choice of.
Right.
You know? And hey, this Tuesday, there's 15 new releases in North America. Here's what they are. It's like, you know what? How about 15,000 new releases?
Yeah.
You know?
And then
probably what came out this week.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably true. Do you have to add video and stuff, too? Do you guys try to do some of that stuff, behind-the-scenes video type stuff?
Definitely. The new DVD that's coming out has two really nice pieces. One is the making of the acoustic EP, which shows a bit of the writing process that Greg and I do. And also, it has an hour-long, never-before-released DVD of a live show with a multi-microphone mix and multi-camera shoot.
Oh, very cool.
That was done at the House of Blues in Vegas, was it?
Yeah.
Is it a lot more work now, though? I mean, a lot more work for a band to put something out, because you really do have to step up the output. It's not the same old songs or whatever.
You'd have to ask. I mean, it's more of an effort on the record company's part. I mean, a band, if you're going to be an active band, you've got to be playing, you've got to be touring. You've got
to do that stuff anyway.
Anyway, and now that everybody and their brother has a camera, it's not much more work for the band, but to package it, to put it all together and to make it presentable, I think, is more of a behind-the-scenes effort. And I think, the packages have to be a little slicker now.
That's fantastic. And you, Greg, are still teaching at UCLA? Or?
Today is a very big day.
Yes, please tell me.
My students who are listening, some of which shouldn't be listening because they should be studying.
For a final?
Today is the final of LS1. The end of the winter quarter at UCLA. I want to say hi to all my students.
But wouldn't it be cool?
Work.
But wouldn't it be cool if you just went in today and you said, "Look, I'm just going to give you all A's."
Yeah,
that would be really.
Don't even worry about
go
coming.
Enjoy spring break.
Why do you have to give them these ideas?
But
now?
You should. I mean, that's cool.
Now it's all over the place.
Right? We were talking about you earlier because
how easy that would be.
It seems like it would be. Seems like it would be easy enough for professors and colleges to. Well, to get chicks, I got to be honest. But you're a lead singer of a band. Come on.
Yeah, that turns them off at UCLA.
Is that right? That doesn't work for them? That's not good?
Deterrent.
We were asking you last time about the students who came in and sat down and didn't really know your dual life.
A lot of them don't. They're pre-med students, for by and large. But, you know, it's funny because it's an ominous lecture hall. There's 300 students,
300. Wow.
And it's very difficult to really for any of them to raise their hand and to speak out. And it's even more difficult to say, "Hey, let's talk about music,"
right?
In
I
front
imagine.
Of that. Yeah. So we don't really; it doesn't come up. But it's sometimes in consultation hours it comes up, but
after school or whatever.
Yeah.
But by the end of the first week, they all know, right?
Good question.
I imagine
they
come
don't
on.
Share it with me.
Well, there's one person that knows, and then they all, you know,
yeah,
text each
course.
Other and
spreads.
Isn't that the guy
absolutely.
From Bad Religion? No, no way. Blah blah blah.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's true, but they're very interested in getting good grades.
So. I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
But today
yeah.
you're going to let them off the hook. That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean. It's a special day.
It is a special day. The end of the quarter.
Right. So let them go.
I don't feel that he's
I don't
going
either.
That direction.
I don't think I'm making any progress here.
Greg, are you a strict teacher?
No, I'm not.
That's
strict.
A great question.
I'm actually.
Do people act up in your class and you say, "Stop it"?
No, I don't compete.
Do they? You don't.
I don't even get angry when a cell phone goes off, which happens at least once every lecture.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And so kids don't think of you as mean, Mr. Graffin,
Master Graffin.
No, they don't.
But they have to screw up some, don't they? I mean, I would.
But they're college students.
So
they're
what?
Not, you
here's
know,
the thing.
I was the worst when I was in college.
At this level, you know, a lot of them, it's their TAs that they have more interaction with.
Oh,
the lecturer,
you're
the
not
professor
in touch.
Is,
you're not in touch with them.
Exactly.
I see. So, you have your minions
so
do
when,
it.
Exactly.
I see.
So the discipline that's is on a different down. Level. Yeah.
You just tell them to hit, and
yeah.
they hit.
At this level, I just dispense with the information.
I see.
And then their TAs or their counselors deal with it.
Are you considered difficult?
Gotcha.
Good
question.
They like, are they
you know
freaking
what?
Out
I
today?
I don't honestly read my teacher evaluations.
You
so
have no
you have time
idea
for that.
If you're doing a good job.
Are you really an instructor at UCLA? Is that really happening? You're just making
it
up.
It's kind of like a music reviews. You
yeah,
know?
You can't
it's,
read your reviews.
You can't,
very,
right.
It's
yeah.
just too hurtful. If you've
sure.
if someone's angry, they're having a bad quarter, and they'll take it out on you. So
yeah.
I don't really read them, but I get good reviews one-on-one. People say they've learned a lot.
You have to get some kind of a feeling, though, how you are compared with the other
yeah,
professors.
I think I'm challenging because I offer a pretty unconventional view of biology. So I bring a little of the rebellion and Bad Religion to that worldview of biology. Because there are a lot of controversies. People think biology is a solid science.
Right.
There's tons of controversy. There's a lot of things that aren't as well established as we're led to believe. And I like to teach that. And by the way, I'm not talking about teaching the controversy of intelligent design. That's not a controversy.
Right.
That's
thank you and amen.
Mumbo jumbo. So that's not the controversy I'm talking
about. So you're saying okay. your students can get off the hook today. That's what you're saying.
No.
No. Okay. All right.
I
happened to notice the chairs and the microphones and the guitars and the snare drum. You guys are going to perform live? What do you got for us today?
We'd like to introduce to you the first installment of Infected on Acoustic Guitar.
Fantastic.
Hold your applause till after the movement. Now here I go, hope I don't break down. I won't take anything, don't give me anything. I don't want to exist, I can't persist. Please stop before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing, let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one, please talk about no one, someone. Anyone, you and me have a disease. You have infect me. You infect me. I'm afflicted. You're addicted. You and me. You and me. I'm on the edge, dead against the wall. I'm so distracted. I love to strike you. Here's my confession. You learned your lesson. Stop me before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one. Please talk about no one. Someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect me. You infect me. I'm afflicted, you're addicted. You and me, you and me. You're clear as a heavy lead curtain, wanna drill you. Just like the ocean, but I'm running out. I can work it out, now I'm running out. Don't be mad about it, baby.
Do this and then say, there's nothing, what's,
exactly.
How come everybody's, see, this is exactly what Ryan Seacrest does.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about getting his hair highlighted.
His manicure.
And manicure and pedicure. And he talks about all this stuff that everybody goes, wait a minute, are you gay? And he goes, no, how could you think that?
Mm-hmm. But this isn't a gay thing. And I know you're trying to direct people to the sites page of KevinandBeanKROQ.com, but this isn't a gay thing at all. Look, it was Africa Hot on Saturday at the KROQ Weenie Roastie Fiesta. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have a lot of hair.
Correct.
So maybe you don't know how uncomfortable that is on a long, super long, hot, hot, sweaty day. And
right.
You want to do something with it. And your options are limited.
Right.
And I chose pigtails to get the hair off my neck because I knew I was going to be out in the hot sun all day. And I just wanted something that was going to be no fuss, no muss, and comfortable.
All right. So KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean, sites. Look at Bean's pigtails. It looks like you got like some kind of little red rubber bands.
Yeah.
Holding it in place.
And you got a few bobby pins, too.
He's got bobby pins as well.
For the flyaway hair. Yeah.
I'm enjoying some of the fine mariachi action at the Weenie Roast in this particular photo.
And call us and tell us if this is a good enough explanation that Bean is giving us, that it's hot.
Well, clearly
because
it is.
Here's the thing. There were 20,000 people there. Everybody else, just as hot.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, longer hair. Only guy in pigtails?
But I saw lots of guys with big, big, long, heavy metal hair, particularly at a Metallica show, and
right.
It was just a mess. It was just plastered all over their face, and it was all sweaty. It had to be miserable and uncomfortable. I didn't want to be that guy.
So you're the pigtail guy.
It was very comfortable. Like I said, it was no fuss, no muss.
Here's the thing. This happens a lot because our voices sound quite the same on the air. I understand that. But when I'm at the Weenie Roast, and freaking Bean has freaking pigtails, and then I hear people calling me Bean.
That's not good.
I can't. This has to end. I can't have people thinking I'm the guy with the pigtails.
Yeah.
Because.
It's beyond humiliating.
Thank you, Lisa.
You would never in a thousand years do this. I wouldn't wear pigtails because they're very immature.
They're very little
they're
girlish.
Kids,
right?
Yeah.
It's the girl on the Wendy's TV commercial or the little logo. That's
yeah.
the. It's a 10-year-old girl thing. 10-year-old girl, super cute with pigtails.
Guys, I got a lot of love.
150-year-old guys don't look so good in pigtails.
I got a lot of love, particularly from the ladies on the pigtails. For instance, producer Alex thought the pigtails were quite fetching.
I don't really think she did. I think
no.
She was just...
It's just, there's no way.
All right, how about this? Let's go to Dina in Cerrito. She is a girl, and she's got my back. Dina is going to show you how wrong you guys are that pigtails are cool on a dude. Hey, Dina, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sorry, Bean. I'm going to have to disagree.
All right. What do you think? You see,
there is nothing more gay on a straight man than pigtails.
Thank you.
Your alternative should have been shaving your head.
Here's
but
what I'm
I wasn't
going
to shave all my hair off just for one day because I was going to be in 150 degrees.
Your guy, most guys don't care that much about their hair. You should have just shaved it off and everyone would have been
hot.
Probably happy.
It was too hot for what? To cut your hair off?
No, it was too hot to have long hair that day. That's all I'm saying.
Bean, I have long hair. And I won't shave my head
because
I know that would just be very scary. Yes,
good point.
I can put
50% of the people there had long hair.
Yeah, my hair was longer than yours. I wore it down all day. It was fine.
With long hair, you either deal with it and deal with the sweatiness and grossness, or you shave it off.
All right, Dina, let me ask you this question. When I say to Bean, it has to be a...
Attention getter.
Hey, look at me.
Not
I'm wearing pigtails. Yes.
Not even a little bit. Not even a tiny bit.
Says not even a little
bit. I swear to God.
That?
No.
It was just hot and ponytails are gay. That was it. I had a choice. Ponytail, pigtails. Ponytails are gay, and I think you guys all agree with me on that.
No.
Pigtails, I think, acceptable.
No,
don't agree with you.
Pigtails are creepy.
Here's the thing. Ponytails.
Or even just like a braid. Guys can do maybe do that, like a single braid and get away with it, but pigtails are just gay and creepy.
I will tell you that at one point I was paged that Chris Hansen was waiting for me out in front of Irvine.
Yeah,
I mean, that concerned me a little bit.
That's not a surprise. So then, I'm telling you guys off the air. We're not doing a bit or anything,
yes.
and we're talking to Bean. We're like, come on, man, you just the whole look at me thing. What are you talking about? This has nothing to do with look at me.
I swear to God, it didn't. I was shocked at how much hate I got from really just you and Ralph and Dave and Omar. Those were the only guys who were really harsh on me about the pigtails.
All right, hang on.
Everybody else seemed to be fine with it. They either didn't care or they thought it was fine.
Rocco in Pasadena?
What's up, man? Yeah, first off, I don't know how the hell you figure that a ponytail is more gay than pigtails.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And second off, yeah, man, I mean, you heard of a haircut before? I mean, come on now.
There you go. Thank you.
I've heard of a haircut, but I like my hair long right now. I'm sure eventually I'll grow tighter and I'll cut it off. But it was just I wasn't going to get a big old haircut because of one day in the hot, hot sun. So I just chose something that was comfortable. That's all.
Bad choice, all I'm saying.
Thanks for the call.
Travis in Pasadena, good morning.
Good morning.
You're a gay guy.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
And I'm not even gay enough to wear pigtails.
Thank you. So what you're saying, Travis, if I might interpret, is that I'm being unkind to gay people by saying that Bean is gay for wearing pigtails.
No, not at all. I think that he's gayer than gay can possibly be. I've got long hair, and yeah, it's hot, blah, 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 but come on.
I'm just trying to be comfortable, Travis.
Bean is surprised that we're giving him crap.
I really am.
Yelling at Omar, whose hair actually looks pretty good, every single day about his hair,
you know.
And then you're surprised when we give you crap about pigtails.
I didn't see that one coming.
There's no way you didn't see that coming.
I did.
I'm calling BS on everything you're saying.
Me too.
I did.
You
I
knew
swear
it
to
was
God.
Gay. You
I
knew
didn't.
You would get a bunch of crap for it.
Yes.
Because it's gayer than anything could possibly be. It's less gay than having sex with a guy. Sorry, more gay than having sex with a guy is what I meant.
He's a Travis, liar who lies.
He's
Travis
a liar who lies.
Says he is super gay and it's too gay for him. I guess I should take that at face value.
Perhaps.
Thank you, Travis.
The world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, you see all sorts of political bumper stickers as you drive around town, Lisa, and I'm sure you've seen those ones that say 12009. You've seen those stickers on the back of the purse?
Oh, yes.
It's people counting down to the start of the new administration. A lot of people will be, you know, happy to see the president go. I am going to be sad to see Dick Cheney go. I have grown to really love this dude.
Have you?
He is.
Because he's so warm?
Yeah, he really is, man. Of course, his famous interview with Wolf Blitzer on the CNN.
You think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
There's Dick, man. There's a guy who just says it like it is.
Well,
I love that about him.
He gives a lot of thought, too.
He was on yesterday with the ABC White House correspondent talking about the 5-year anniversary of the Iraq War. Had this to say.
2/3 of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
There you go. That's my boy. Come on. Tell me we're not going to miss that. Let's talk to the vice president, shall we? Mr. Cheney, good morning.
Hello?
Dick?
Yeah.
How are you, sir? Good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right.
Well, listen, Mr. Janey, the reason I wanted to have you on is because this news story recently about the two towns in Vermont that have approved a measure that instruct local police to arrest you and Mr. Bush if either of you are found in the city limits of those towns.
So?
They're suggesting crimes against the Constitution. They want you to be extradited and tried. And I was wondering if you had any reaction about, you know, a community in your country that would issue a proclamation like that.
Yes, actually. The president and I have discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to announce that as of today, we are implementing Operation Shock and Awe 2, and we will be invading Vermont.
Well, you... You can't declare war on your own country. I mean, you can't bomb.
Oh, really? Are you a politician? Are you a lawmaker? Are you some sort of constitutional expert?
Well, no, but you can't attack Vermont. I mean, they're a state in our union.
But I believe, given their current administration, we will be viewed as liberators.
You think they're being held against their will?
Yes, I think the people of Vermont will be happy to see us march into that state and. Set them up with a new democracy.
who's going to march? You got no one.
We've got soldiers.
Here?
I'm not at liberty to tell you where they are right now, but okay. We have them.
Right.
And we will be, we have reason to believe that Vermont, despite being home to maple syrup, also is harboring some weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, what? You think they got a nuclear program out there in Vermont? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they bought some yellow cake uranium from Maine, and we believe they are developing a nuclear weapons program.
Do you have any proof of that?
Yeah, sure we do. Of course we do.
Can we see it?
Nope. It's not for your eyes, young lady. It is not for you. You let the big boy handle this, okay?
The men are talking.
Right. Just pipe down.
Mr. Vice President, it sounds like you just kind of make up whatever proof, quote-unquote, you need to do whatever it is you want to do.
We have information from various intelligence sources that claim that Vermont is working hard on on maple syrup fusion.
I didn't even know scientifically that was possible.
It is. They have a dirty bomb that is nuclear in basis, and when it explodes, it... sprays maple syrup all over you, and that's hard to get out.
That's being sticky.
Sounds messy, yeah.
You get sticky, and then next thing you know, you're stuck.
and no one wants that.
God,
no one wants to be stuck. You get that on a computer keyboard, forget about it. Communications are paralyzed. So we are taking the necessary steps. We were going to go in, and we are going to shock and awe them. We will develop a new democracy. We will set up a new coalition that will stay there as long as necessary until the government of Vermont is a free and democratic government.
God, you could be there 100 years.
Whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
We will not leave until the mission is accomplished.
Uh-huh. At first, before we had you on, sir, I was thinking this was a bad idea. But now that you've explained it and the good reasons you have for invading Vermont, I'm with you.
Have you ever seen Vermont?
No, I've never been, actually.
It blows.
We wouldn't miss it anyway.
You wouldn't miss it. No.
Okay.
No. All right. They got syrup.
Yeah.
And a lot of flannel shirt guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of tree cutters. What are they called? Lumberjacks?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of those.
Yeah, right.
And they got a city named Montpelier. What the hell's that all about? It's a retarded name. Montpelier.
Well, that's all the reason you need, sir. Good luck with that.
I just took out some maple syrup.
Psycho Mike, you live in Pasadena or South Pasadena? Which city are you
in? I reside in South Pasadena.
Okay.
And what's the buzz? What's the buzz on the streets of your town? What have you been seeing lately?
No cussing, dude. Cleaning up your mouth. That's what it's all about in SP.
South Pasadena is an official no cussing zone this week.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard of this before. I mean, in the United States, I think there are other countries in the world where I think you get in trouble for using that kind of language out loud. But
Singapore,
not so much
for
here.
Instance.
Singapore, yeah.
The idea came from a 14-year-old boy who came up with the idea. He's a fun-loving South Pasadena high school freshman named McKay Hatch. Rides a unicycle. He said,
say no more.
Let's do a no-cussing week. And then, against all judgment, the mayor of South Pasadena said, yes, that's a good idea.
How get to the mayor?
Mayor?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Mayor Michael Cacciotti on the line with us from South Pasadena. So this young McKay Hatch got the word out that he was trying to get his classmates and I guess other people in the community to stop cussing. How did you find out about it?
You know, McKay appeared at a city council meeting a few weeks ago and issued a challenge not only to his fellow classmates but to the city council and the citizens of South Pasadena to join his no cussing challenge. So we accepted. We put it on the agenda for tonight. And the entire city council, we're going to issue him a proclamation declaring a March 3rd through 7th No Cussing Week in historic, beautiful city of South Pasadena.
I got to tell you, I was not aware that all of the problems in the world had already been solved. So we have time for this. That's good news.
Well, clearly the city council was swearing up a storm and something had to be done. Is that what happened, Mayor?
No, we've been attempted many times, but no, it's an effort to really recognize just outstanding kids in our community like McKay and others who've taken a stand up for principles and kind of a stand against popular, popular values out there that aren't, where people do cuss a lot.
All right, let me ask you this, Mr. Mayor, and maybe I want to make sure I'm clear on this before I say something I might end up regretting later. McKay Hatch, he's dying or something, right? I mean, it's like he's got a week to live, and this is the way to pat him on the head and say good boy and let him die happy. I mean, that clearly is what you're doing here, right?
It's Make-A-Wish.
No, it's Make-A-Wish, right?
No, we really try to we've recognized kids in our community do great things. Just last night, four of our high school students, classmates of McKay, hosted a video about the plight of kids in Africa that are taken by rebel forces and forced into war. So we try to every chance we get, we try to recognize kids in our community that really do something outstanding.
He says, this 14-year-old unicycle rider, he says, by encouraging his classmates to stop using their favorite four-letter words, Hatch is hoping it'll be easier for them to say no when it comes to tougher decisions like drugs and alcohol.
You know, it really is true. I mean, another thing this does really creates an awareness of the harmful impacts. Just, you know, we all kind of laugh at it, cussing, but there's really serious harmful impacts. When people cuss in your presence, in anybody's presence, what's the impact on other people? It causes tension, hostility, anger, uneasiness.
I don't feel any of that.
It is almost impossible to drink and do drugs without cussing.
Is that right?
Yeah, it pretty much is.
I think
can't physically
do
it.
I don't know that that's true, Lisa.
I'm
think
pretty
maybe,
sure you try.
I think
it.
Maybe you're mocking.
You try and see,
Mr. Mayor. Have you seen this TV show South Park?
A few times.
Okay. How hilarious is that show? How lame would that show be if they didn't cuss on it?
Good point.
I'm saying there are times when swearing is essential. Look, this is Bean speaking here. I think you guys would back me up on this. I don't have a potty mouth. I don't have a problem with swearing all the time when I shouldn't and stuff like that. But there are times when those are the words you need to make the impact. There are times when those are the funny words and those are the words that say precisely what it is you're trying to say. And you're taking away colors out of my palette if I can't swear.
I mean, I think the issues for McKay and the rest of us are just, you know, set your goals high. Try not to offend people when you're around them. Treat people with respect. It's simply just try to exercise the golden rule every day. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
I can understand that you would say that if he was your kid, but if you're running a meeting and a 14-year-old boy comes up and says, here's how to get people to stop doing drugs and all that, and it's by not cussing, you go, okay, noted. And then you move on with the real business.
No,
you don't say, yes, we'll give you an award.
You know, I've been a soccer coach for now nearly 30 years, coaching youth, high school, and college. And that's one of my rules at the beginning of the year. There's no cussing during the season. If you cuss, go down and give me 10 push-ups.
I think I could understand that as the coach of a team because right. You have the option of not playing on that team if you don't like it.
Right.
But you're running a city, dude.
You know, it's just a reminder to all of us. You know, try to establish good habits every day and treat people with respect at your job, in your families, and your friends, at school, at work, even in a political arena. I mean, treat people. Let's elevate the discourse. Let's have civility now.
I see where you're coming from, and I honestly believe, Mr. Mayor, that your intentions are pure. But it seems like whatever time in South Pasadena they're spending talking about not, you know, saying damn, it seems like that time would be better spent doing the types of things that you're talking about. Spend time with your kids, for instance. Get your kids involved in extracurricular activities. Other things that really have a more direct result on keeping them away from having too much free time and getting into drugs and bad habits.
That's a great point. I mean, I think we've got to do it all. I think it's a multi-pronged approach, you know, but you've got to recognize kids that take a stand that something unpopular such as this or taking a stand against drugs, against violence, against gangs.
You're going to get the hell beaten out of this kid. That's what's going to happen.
He's going to ride up. It's ironic that this kid is going to get beat up every single day now.
He's
going
to ride up to the little podium on his unicycle, and he's going to say, let's not cast. And then he's just going to get beaten to hell, dude. Why do you hate this kid?
Beaten to heck.
Heck.
What does that say about our culture? Kids, how do kids supposed to treat each other with respect? Why
do you hate
McKay
Hatch? Why do you hate him?
I think it says pick your battles. Pick the reasonable battles that can be won, I think is what it says about our culture.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, if this kid survives the week, we're going to be pleased. We're going to be happy. And South Pasadena sounds like a nice place to live, Mr. Mayor.
Does.
We appreciate you coming on K-Rock and talking to us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You think the mayor of South Pasadena used to ride a unicycle when he was in high school?
I think he still rides a unicycle.
Is there a connection?
Look, he sounded like a nice guy, and I totally understand the positive things that he's trying to promote.
Sure.
But
I don't know that we need to go to 14-year-olds to tell us how to live life.
But I also don't think...
He doesn't know.
I also don't think...
He rides a unicycle!
Right, but just because an idea comes from a 14-year-old, automatically it shouldn't be dismissed, but this one should. That's what my point is.
Okay, that's fine. But shouldn't all ideas that come from 14-year-olds that ride unicycles be discounted?
Okay, I think we could agree on that. No cussing in South Pasadena is the story, and I guess we have a complaint caller on the phone. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's the great Sean Connery. Good morning, Sean.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How the f*** are you?
Okay.
God.
Listen, in light of the conversation we just had with the mayor, Mr. Connery, why do you come at us with language like that?
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you fellas, was to talk about the story you were talking about.
Okay.
About this 14-year-old with the tricycle.
He's just trying to clean up the neighborhood. There's no disrespect necessary.
He's a sucker, first of all.
Right.
And he's infringing upon my First Amendment rights.
Your First Amendment rights?
That's right. Freedom of speech.
Well, I don't think that the mayor was saying that you're going to get arrested or anything like that. You can still legally cuss. It's just that they're trying to discourage it.
Why?
Because then you'll stop doing drugs as well.
Yeah, that's shady logic, if you ask me. Listen, is one of the greatest words in the world.
Yeah.
It's multi-purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way to really, truly express yourself. There's reason this 14-year-old doesn't want to use the word it's because he knows he'll never have an opportunity to use it as a verb.
Aww, that's ugly.
He's never getting laid on his little f***icle.
So there are some times when no other word will do. That's what you're saying, Mr. Connery.
F***ing sucker.
Now, Sean, how often are you in South Pasadena, though? I mean, I don't think this is going to affect you.
Every time I go to see the Rose Parade.
You go to the Rose Parade?
F***ing. I love to sit in the stand and say, wow, you did a great job stapling some seeds to a Volvo.
Oh, my God.
Nice job. This parade blows. You people are that's my way I spend my New Year's Day.
And now you can't do that
anymore.
And
now I can't do it because it's no cussing week.
Yeah.
By the way, who calls it cussing?
I don't know. That's a good question.
What 18th century came up with that idea? Golly gosh, no cussing down by the swimming hole. Let's go to the general store and get some pickles out of the barrel.
It is. Now that you mentioned it, it is weird that they don't use swearing as the term,
I guess. Cussing.
Cussing, yeah.
Yeah, South Pasadena can stick its tongue firmly in my asshole.
Okay,
well, please, eat my
Wow. Listen, as Kevin pointed out, I don't think this is really meant for you. It's really meant more for the residents. And I think the goal is just to start a neighborhood discussion about bad habits that young people get into. That's what the mayor was trying to tell us.
I think we are starting a discussion.
Yeah.
And my half of the discussion is you.
All right, Sean, good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Go yourself.
Bye now.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
Please don't be creepy. Please, I'm begging you, don't be.
It's impossible for him not to be creepy. We shouldn't even do this.
All right, how about a little less for the peanut gallery, a little more dialing up my future wife, Alita Loresco from Channel 4 Weather. Come on, you guys. I love her, but I love her so much.
The weather on Channel 4 News, and Bean watches her every single day and is obsessed with her like I've rarely seen.
Yes.
I've never been angrier at somebody that I loved more than the way I feel about Alita Loresco today, because she has literally the biggest boobs on television,
okay,
yet dresses like she's in one of those Mormon cults with all the polygamous 14-year-old brides. They like head to toe she's covered up. It's ridiculous.
Or she's dressed like a serious weathercaster. That could be too.
Let's not get crazy.
Maybe that's what they want.
Yeah, I'm saying we can call her, but don't scare her.
You know, it could be cold in the studio. Might be it.
I don't care.
So it doesn't matter what it's like outside.
But I'm saying don't.
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for Alita.
This would be Alita.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys? Are you guys awake?
Yes, I'm so happy right now. Hi, Alita. It's Bean.
Hi. Okay, now, I don't recognize voices. So which one is Kevin?
This is Kevin, and I'm not the creepy, scary one.
Right. That's Bean.
And that's Lisa's voice. And then,
hi, Lisa.
Hi, Alita.
And now here's the creepy, scary one.
Not creepy or scary at all. I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, you're so sweet. I actually Googled your pictures to see if you guys would be creepy scared, and you guys are definitely not creepy scared.
Thank you.
Those
you're very
are
sweet.
Good photos.
You didn't look at the right photos. We're both creepy scary.
Here's the question I have for you, because unfortunately we're not going to have as much time as we'd like, much time as we'd like, I mean an hour to talk to you and just you. But has any feedback gotten to you over there at KNBC Channel 4 in reference to the conversations we've had about you on our show over the past few months?
It's funny because not so much here at work, but my sister, her husband actually listens to the show, he likes to text my sister and says that you guys say some pretty interesting things about me.
Yes.
That's Bean.
No, here's the deal, Alita,
I'll
and I'm
let
so
you explain.
Okay, you're very gracious to come on, and we're very appreciative of it, but I have a legitimate complaint. In fact, we contacted a lawyer last week. I was this close to organizing a class action lawsuit against you.
Yes. What are you talking
Until
about?
The lawyer told him it was the dumbest idea he'd ever heard.
Alita, you're one of the hottest women on television. And you dress like you're living in Iran under the Ayatollah. And I don't understand what the deal is. It can be I was just saying before we dialed you, it can be 150 degrees outside and you're wearing a freaking turtleneck. What are they doing to you over there?
Okay, we have a studio that is, obviously it needs to be cold because of all the equipment.
Right.
And so when I get in the morning, it was seriously 32 below zero. So I come prepared.
With a burka?
I come prepared to work because it is so cold in the studio.
You're a gorgeous woman with a fantastic figure. You share none of it. You absolutely keep it all to yourself. And it's, honestly, we get angry in the morning because we turn on the TV. You're not showing an inch of cleavage, and that's frankly just unacceptable.
Well, Kevin and Bean, you know that you watch the weather to get the information, and
I believe
I'm showing the best assets. I'm showing my smile. You still see my smile. Mm-hmm. You see my brown eyes, and you're seeing my beautiful graphics.
Alita, I have
come on, chime in here, girl. Help a girl out.
Oh, listen, I have been defending you from left to right because I figure, first of all, they want you to be conservative, and two, I know those studios are freezing.
I'm not the creepy, scary one, but you are being kind of selfish.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for seeing it my way. Now, Alita, many of our listeners, every time we talk about you, they send us the links to your pictures from FHM from a couple of years ago. So it's clearly you're willing to share, but just not on television.
You know what? I save that. That is for my fiance's view only.
Wait a minute. That's FHM.
Well, that was before the fiance.
Yeah, oh. Exactly.
Nice. All right.
You guys just enjoy those photos and leave her alone.
Look,
thank you, Miss Lisa.
Alita, you do a great job on the weather, I guess,
thank
if you,
you
care about that. But I just what I'm saying is a little concession to the fact that we live in 21st century America, and it's okay to share a little bit. All right, that's all I'm saying.
I will keep that in mind. The next time I decide to go shopping, mm-hmm. I will keep that in mind. Kevin and Bean. A little something, something for them.
Bean, especially, by the way, is going to be measuring on when you do the next weather forecast. So
I do start every day with a magnifying glass in front of my TV screen, just so you know. So.
Oh, goodness. It's called HD.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, Alita.
You don't want to know any more of that story, by the way.
I'm glad you came on, and I'm telling you, if we don't see some improvement, you're going to be hearing from us again soon, okay?
Okay, guys.
All right, share.
Take care.
Thank you, Alita.
Thanks,
all right,
Alita.
You're welcome. Great
we love you.
Love you, too.
She's going to move like all the other women that Bean made move.
Of course.
I'm going to cut off
here.
Your skin and wear it as a coat.
Oh, I can't wait.
What the? This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Got an update on fat people for me?
Yes. Two people in Louisiana, two men, a 265-pound man and his friend,
say a restaurant overcharged them for their trip to the buffet and then banned them because they're too fat and they eat too much.
Oh, no.
Is this a you pay one price,
yep,
eat all you can, and they were kind of overdoing it?
All you can eat buffet. So basically that means take whatever you want.
Right.
Eat it. We're fine with it. Just pay us one time.
Yeah.
Apparently these guys were eating too much, so they've been banned from the restaurant. Y'all fat, y'all eat too much, is what the guy said that the waitress told him.
Now, have you seen pictures of these guys?
Yes.
Because there are guys who are 265 pounds that are not fat.
These guys are, well, one of them is strange looking. Like, one of them, the quiet guy in the next interview that you'll hear, is he's kind of not thin, but his stomach is way out too far. It doesn't even make sense. It looks odd.
It's like the only place he gains weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the other guy is not fat, but big. He's a big guy, you know, and you can see these guys eating a lot.
Yeah.
Healthy appetite.
Fat
right.
guy doesn't say much. Big guy is the guy who does all the talking, and they were both on Jimmy Kimmel last night, standing in front of the restaurant that banned them.
Oh, okay.
And they are just two good old boys that they used to go to this restaurant all the time, and now they've been banned. Here's the interview.
The Friday night before Christmas, we decided to come out here and eat. We've been eating here for about the last 8 months, maybe once, twice a week.
Now, this guy is guy who gives too much information guy.
Okay.
So he has got to explain in detail how this happened.
Well, the night we walk in there, we was greeted very friendly. We sat down at the table. They already knew what we wanted to drink, iced tea. So me and Mike proceed to the bar to fix our plate.
Right.
So I walk to the bar. I pick up 3, maybe 4 ball shrimp, put in my plate because the pan was empty at this time.
Uh-huh.
I then go to the frog legs. I pick up 4 frog legs because there's 2 frog legs to every frog unless you're crippled. Right.
2 frog legs to every frog unless they're crippled, he said.
By the way, only in Louisiana would they offer frog legs at a buffet. How about that?
Yeah, and what's bald shrimp? I don't even know what that is.
I
think it's ball shrimp, isn't it?
I thought you were saying boiled.
Oh, boiled shrimp.
Oh, maybe it's boiled shrimp.
Oh,
that would make sense. I learned that from Forrest Gump. Yeah, that's true. That's
shrimp balls. I don't know, but this guy, and so he goes on.
So I go and I get me 2 to 3 shrimp balls. I'll get me some Chinese rice.
He's saying shrimp ball.
He
they
is.
Make balls out of shrimp someplace.
Yep.
Or maybe there's actually balls.
I go back to the table. I'm undoing my napkin to get my fork.
Yeah.
Cut my first shrimp ball in half. Put it in my mouth. Start
on, slow down. I want to get every detail.
Okay. See, this guy not be used to the fast pace of television interviews.
Yeah,
I think maybe too much detail in this story.
So I sat down, cut my shrimp ball in half. Maybe it was thirds.
In my mouth, started chewing it. All of a sudden, the waitress slaps a ticket on the table with 2 fortune cookies.
Right.
At this moment, I'm trying to chew my shrimp ball and swallow it. She makes the comment.
Okay, now this is the strangest comment I've ever heard. She tells the guy, she tells his friend, the guy who doesn't talk, with the giant, weird-looking belly.
Okay.
If you guys serve yourself again, you will be charged $20 per person because Wendy said y'all are fat, overweight, and eat too much.
No. All right, so they're going to be charged double because they eat too much because they're fat.
And overweight.
Look, I don't know very much about this story. I did not see this interview last night, but I don't think the restaurant has a leg to stand on in this. If they're advertising all you can eat for a person to come in, that's the rule, right? That's the contract you're making with the customer.
That's what you would think, but not in this case.
I swallowed my shrimp ball by the hardest.
Right.
I done returned to talk to her again. She makes the statement, Mike Borelli here looks like he has baby in stomach.
No. Mike Borelli here has baby in stomach. That's the guy with the weird, he looks pregnant. That guy's interpretation is baby in stomach.
I can now see why Carl Malone sounds the way he does, because I think he comes from the same part of Louisiana.
At this point,
and Mike, you do not have a baby in your stomach right now.
No, I don't think.
You got a full-grown adult in there.
Yeah.
This is an all-you-can-eat buffet, right?
Yes, sir. All-you-can-eat buffet.
Buffet.
Sure.
They call it Louisiana, buffet.
Right. And so the idea is, it's almost like a challenge, as much as you can possibly eat. Were you eating too much of one specific thing?
No, sir. I tried everything.
You tried everything.
not everything on the bar, but, you know, shrimp, ball shrimp.
Yeah, Broadway. I did mention the ball shrimp. Now, were there any signs restricting what you could eat? Were they say, like, you can only eat 3 plates of food or anything like that?
No, sir, there was not. They did have a sign posted stating you will be charged 20% extra if you allow your children to waste food.
Uh-huh. And the baby in Michael's stomach did not waste any food. I would like to represent you in this case. I don't know if you have an attorney, but I think I'm cut out for this particular line of work.
Well, I'm game for it because I need all the help I can because I felt like we was discriminated against. It was unreal.
And now, is there a Sizzler or anything in the neighborhood that you can go to? Or, I mean, what are you going to do?
Sir, what we did this past Friday night, Mike asked me to go out and eat again. We wound up going back to the place we used to go to, which is Dragon Gardens. When Mike paid the bill that night, because we take turns paying the bill,
okay. Yeah.
The owner of the restaurant came up to me and shook my hand, and that was it.
When you guys... Some story. When you guys have dinner together, does Mike say anything?
No, Mike don't say too much.
Mike, you don't say too much.
Nah, I got my mouth full.
Maybe he's concentrating on baby and stomach.
Don't you want to live with those people?
Yes, I do.
Come on.
I hope Jimmy does represent him in court. And I hope Court TV airs every second of that trial. That's fantastic.
Because those guys should be able to eat all they want at the buffet. It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
So you're thinking about your senior prom. You're all excited. You're getting ready to go. It's the night of your life. I mean, it really is one of the best times of a young person's life, that senior prom. You're really looking forward to it. And if you could fast forward, if you could know that an hour down the road after arriving, you'd be sitting in the back of a police car handcuffed. Maybe you wouldn't be quite as excited, but that brings up the topic of prom disasters, which is what we're going to be talking about for the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
So this link is up. There's a news piece that we would like you to watch. And trust me when I tell you it's worth watching. At the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com, download Rodeo.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Internet Roundup. Get them confused.
Okay.
There is a girl who made her own dress for the prom.
Marcia Taylor, 17 years old. She's going to high school in Houston, Texas. Made a delightful dress that you really need to see to appreciate.
I shouldn't say dress, really, as much as a thread or two.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well for her.
She shook her head. She was like, you're not getting in this prom. And, you know, we are arguing back and forth because I want to know why I can't get into my prom.
When she tried to enter the ballroom, a sponsor stopped her. She was told her dress violated a school dress code.
Your friends tried to wrap the dress around you.
Yes, sir. They tried to actually wrap the dress around me. And she told me I couldn't. I'm still not getting in because I didn't have any undergarments.
It's kind of she didn't have any undergarments. It's kind of like half of a bikini.
Yeah, I mean it's short.
Nothing. I don't find
it's
anything
short,
wrong with
and
it. But
like her whole midsection is exposed.
Yeah,
and she's got those Borat bathing suit straps over her boobs. I mean, that's all the fabric that's on her body on the top half of her body. I mean, she. She's 17, too, by the way. She's going to a prom where they do have the dress guidelines that you have to sign off on in order to buy tickets for the prom. So she certainly knew about it. But she does look like a hooker more than she looks like a high school student going to a prom.
With nothing underneath.
So how about if I wrap it around? Well, you don't really have underwear, so no.
Oh, my God.
So things went from good to worse.
What did you think of that?
I asked her, what's her problem? Because I had some.
At that point, Marcia Taylor says she was furious. After all, this was her senior prom. She argued if she couldn't get in, then she wanted her money back. She says things got so bad that at some point, someone called the police.
And so your only prom picture, really?
Yes.
Is
in handcuffs. They didn't give me any options but to go to jail or go home.
Well, they should have given her money back, for God's sakes.
I would think so, too. I don't know how that works.
I mean, she spent all that cash first on making that dress.
Oh, well, there wasn't much cash, right? There was not much dress.
Buying that 1 yard of fabric.
But, yeah, there's 80 cents to buy that yard of fabric and then wrap it around your body. You got that expense right there.
Yeah, exactly.
But how great is that? The only picture you have from your prom is in handcuffs.
In the back of a police car.
Not the good kind.
I hope that's not what her future holds for her.
No, clearly it isn't.
That's great. Let's try Jesus in Los Angeles. He's on line 8. We're talking about prom disasters you never could have pictured when you left the house that night the way the evening was going to end. Jesus, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, like, my high, my history professor, we were good friends, but eventually, he kind of, like, pushed me to ask this girl out that I was kind of interested in. He actually was dating the girl, so the only reason he pushed me to ask her out was just to cover his tracks. At prom, he just snaps completely and just starts beating the snot out of me in the middle of, like, me and her dancing. And after that, all I can remember is me at Denny's eating pancakes after that.
This was a teacher who was beating up a student in the middle of the dance floor at the prom?
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Good times.
Yeah, and thanks for the call.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, King of Mexico was talking in the other room yesterday. What did he say, Mike? He said he left her?
He left
his date?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She was lucky that I even asked her.
I left her there.
He said it was her fault because she agreed to go with him.
I don't even know how she got home.
I remember funny.
I remember waking up and I'm like, oh, man, how'd she get home?
God.
Let's talk to Jessica on line three. Her prom night disaster was directly resulted in her not being able to graduate, which isn't really what you're looking for. Hey, Jess, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Good. What happened on your prom, dude?
Well, basically, a bunch of us, mostly half the school, left prom to go to this crazy after party, and the party host had a lot of drugs, party got raided, and about 30 of us got arrested.
Good times.
Mm. And maybe about half the people that were at that party, so I would say maybe like 100 people, did not get to graduate on stage.
100 people?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because what happened was, like, you know, the school questioned everybody, and, you know, for those of us who weren't graduating, we're like, oh, well, so-and-so was at the party, so why should they get to graduate? And so it went on and on.
Excellent.
Dude, a party where 30 people get arrested, that's a party.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. Don't get to graduate. So at least you didn't put in all that work for nothing.
Yeah.
Let's say good morning to Amy in Irvine. Good morning, Amy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa.
Hi, Amy.
What happened on your prom?
Okay. I had a high school boyfriend who was kind of cheating on me, so I ended up not going to prom with him. But I was on prom court, and all my friends were like, you have to go. So I ended up going with a guy that I didn't know very well. And come to find out that he had to go home early that night, and sometime after prom, he ended up shooting his dad in the head.
What?
Rolling his dad's body in carpet, hiding him in the garage for a couple weeks, and the day we got our prom pictures back at school was the day he was arrested at school, and the police officers took our pictures, and they were splashed all over the evening news, and it said, high school student kills father tonight at 11, and it didn't say which high school student, it was just a picture of him and me.
From the prom?
Oh, that's awesome.
God.
Now, I'm sure you've replayed every minute you spent with this guy over the years. Was there any indication that he had that kind of a bitter feud going with his dad, or that he was a violent person, or anything like this might happen?
Well, he was a grade younger than I was, so I was a senior and he was a junior, but he was all varsity sports, and I was a cheerleader, so I would cheer at all the games, and I saw the pressure his dad would put on him at all of the games. You know, if he'd hit a home run, it wasn't good enough. It was the time that he didn't make it to base that was the big issue, and his dad would kind of push him around a little and stuff.
Wow.
Ugly. We knew that there was, like, an intense situation going on, but no one knew exactly what.
Tonight at 11, one of these two people killed their parent.
Exactly.
Wait till you find out which one it is.
We're not going to tell you now.
The phone
Amy,
was ringing off the hook that night.
That's awesome.
That is such a great story. We want you to hold on. We're going to give you some Afrocentric porn, okay?
Very nice.
Go away.
Okay, congratulations.
We have a DJ here, a new DJ named McCabe. And he took some phone calls Friday, and then Friday night, and then Saturday, and then Saturday night, and then Sunday from somebody named David Hasselhoff.
not the David Hasselhoff.
You can make up your own mind.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing, David Hasselhoff?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Listen, my kids are down at your Coachella Festival, and they're telling me it's awesome, and I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there. Who would I talk to, and who do I go through?
Well, if you go to the website, krock.com.
Well, how do I know that, but I'm going to need VIP tickets because I'm not going to be able to hang out.
Well, dude, you are, no one hassles the Hoff, so you'd probably just get them.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because I got a couple of girls, and we're just going to drive down tonight.
Yes.
All in all, it's just
Another break in the wall.
All right, David, hold on.
So is this how it works if you're David Hasselhoff?
Yes.
Something comes up that you want, and you just get it because you're the Knight Rider guy.
He doesn't know how to buy tickets, by the way.
And then he asked
no clue.
Then he asked McCabe this information.
Yeah, and where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I don't know.
Because I'm not your concierge, Mr. Hasselhoff.
Major fan of K-Rock.
And we are a major fan of Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. I'm still Knight Rider to everybody, even though there's a new Knight Rider. I'm still well, Coche Fantastico.
Now, here's where he goes into a weird thing where he starts talking about his car got towed.
Mm-hmm.
Even tonight when they just towed my car, they said, Coche Fantastico.
They towed your car?
Yeah, I told the guy, I went to pick up my car. He goes, Michael, I said, don't give me that Michael shit. You towed my car. And I said, I'm at a cat animal hospital. I said, my cat's dead in the back.
What?
I don't know.
He sounds pretty broken up being out there with a bunch of 20-something-year-old girls trying to take him to Coachella.
Apparently his cat was
he's really mourning.
It was in the back of the car at the pet hospital, and then his car got towed. So then he had to go get it and tell the guy that the cat was still in the back. And he did want to work for his tickets, though.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
I'll just go on stage and go, The Hoff! K-Rock, The Hoff! Come on, that's worth some tickets.
Yes, it is. Yeah. If you could get the Red Hot Chili Peppers to play on a year when they're not playing...
That's worth some tickets.
That's impressive.
And finally, one final question for McCabe.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, do you know?
He maybe needs a personal assistant to be making these arrangements for him, I think.
Lazy. He's such a lazy man.
McCabe has no idea how far it is from that. Okay, let's. I see we have the Hoff on the phone. Good morning, David.
How you guys doing?
We're very good. How are you?
Hoff loves the rock.
Yes, you do.
Where are you right now? We know that you made it out to Coachella. Where are you now, David?
Yeah, I'm still at Coachella.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
There's nothing going on there, right?
It's over, though.
I can't find my car.
Oh, no. Really?
And it's hot.
It is hot.
It's really hot out here.
Yeah.
I keep drinking, but I can't get hydrated.
Well, you're drinking just water or Gatorade or what?
Rumple mints.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
It's like Goldschlager.
That's not going to help you, David.
No.
It's a pepperminty liqueur.
Uh-huh. Is anyone else still there? I mean, are there any guards there that you could ask to help you?
I got a couple girls.
Right?
You always do.
Yeah. And I can't find my car.
What are the girls doing right now?
You know how far Coachella is to the Palm Desert Marriott?
No, we don't.
Why
how
are
we supposed
know
to
that?
Know that?
I'm going to have to walk. I don't have the Coche Fantastico. I need my Coche Fantastico.
Are you going to make the girls walk as well?
My Coche Fantastico.
Right.
I wish I had a Coche Fantastico.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe a cab is what you need. Maybe call a cab to come get you.
Oh. My car was towed.
Right. That was Friday, though.
I had a dead cat in the back.
That was Friday,
so we heard.
Still have the dead cat.
Every time I have a car, I put a dead cat in it.
That seems odd.
Not going to smell good.
Nobody steals a car with a dead cat in it.
Right. Okay.
Does know that.
Nor I can get a dead cat?
No, we don't.
Dead cat fantastico.
Right.
Dead cat fantastico.
There's no security. There's no cops you can wave down.
No, it's just desert.
Desert, yeah.
Right.
And
okay, don't drink anymore, David. Just
sand.
Right. That's desert.
Lay down and go to sleep,
wind,
maybe.
Hot.
Right. It is hot, yeah.
I cannot get hydrated. I'm out of sweat.
Maybe if you found your car, though, maybe
is
you should...
Is it bad if you can't sweat anymore?
Yes.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's a sign that you're about to die.
That's heat stroke.
Sweat fantastic. Our Hoff loves the rock.
That's what we hear, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nirvana.
How was Nirvana this weekend?
I can introduce Nirvana. That's got to be worth a couple tickets, right?
Yeah, they're not exactly playing
Nirvana
anymore.
Nirvana Fantastico.
All right.
Nirvana Fantastico.
You all right, dude?
No. Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You're okay.
Nope.
You have food?
Nope.
No food?
No.
No, that's sad.
I got Rumple Mints.
Right, you mentioned that. That doesn't sound like that's the good thing if it's the only thing you have.
No. Yeah, this is a mess.
Oh,
it is.
I can't find my car.
Yeah, that's not a good place. Not a good place to lose your car.
Jason.
Good to fantastical.
Right. We heard that.
You all right?
This is a mess.
Yeah.
My cat died.
We heard that.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall.
Right. Roger Waters was last night.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall.
You all right, dude?
This is a mess.
Right.
Mess fantastical.
Did you say mess fantastical?
Yep.
Should we call the authorities or something?
Nope.
Don't call the authorities.
Nope.
You don't need help?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
You don't need help?
Nope.
What? Sorry, I can't understand you.
This is a mess.
It is a mess, yeah.
Do you know how far it is to the Marriott Palm Desert?
No.
How are we supposed to know that off the top of our heads?
Oh, this is a mess.
All right, good luck.
Coachella Fantastical.
Okay, call us when you get back.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right, we got to go.
This is a mess.
Right.
Who's laughing in the background there, David?
Omar. Oh, did you say Omar? Is he still out there, too?
Okay.
All right, we got
to
go.
We
don't know, can't
we? Hello?
Dude.
It looks like from those pants I was on my moon.
Dude.
Oh. I was riding the cotton pony.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
We got it.
Yeah.
I don't want to gross you guys out, but should I tell you exactly what happened?
Please.
Sure.
I got the idea I could backflip a motorcycle.
Because they make it look really easy, right?
Yeah, Travis Pastrana was doing a one flip, two flip.
Sure.
This girl did a backflip. I'm like, I totally got that.
Right.
But I don't ride a motorcycle. And Travis had to let out the clutch for me.
But did did Travis ever say to you, it's not as easy as it looks, or this might be not be the best idea, anything?
Well, Travis, the way he gets himself into trouble is anything, he's like, oh, man, you totally got that. Because
okay.
That's how he thinks.
Right, sure.
And that's how I think.
Okay.
And he has talent, and
right.
I don't.
Well, you don't ride a motorcycle to begin with. I mean,
it's not your fault. I mean, did they put training wheels on it and little pink ribbons on the handlebars for you?
I wish. No, I borrowed Zach's. I borrowed Travis's motorcycle and hit the ramp four times. Actually, the first time he let the clutch out for me, I ran straight into the ground.
Okay.
So then I hit the ramp on the fourth time, and he goes, whatever you do, do not let go of the bike because it's going to go 40 feet in the air and come back down and hit you. I'm like, yeah, I got it. Next thing you know, I get off the ramp, I let go of the bike, it goes about what he said to how far in the air, is like 15, 20 feet over my head.
Right.
And I lay it on the ground, and I see it, I'm like, that's not going to hit me. And then it comes down. I'm spread eagle, and it breaks the handlebar off of my crotch.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
Was it in slow motion? Did it seem like it took forever for the bike to get down?
Yeah, it did, because I saw it go up, and I'm like, that's not going to hit me. Someone's got my back. Honestly, I thought that. And then
wow.
Like a second later.
It wasn't
like,
your back
ow.
You needed gotten.
Oh. Yeah, no, it came within centimeters of going in my anus.
Oh.
Oh my God!
Wait a minute.
Problem. I could have taken that all the way to the clutch.
I was gonna say that seems like it would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, it's no sweat. Vroom, vroom.
So you go. They take you immediately. You get medical attention immediately. I hope, right?
Yeah, because
okay.
I didn't. The doc. He said it's bad, and if it's busted your bladder or there's internal bleeding, son, we got to get you there now.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. And what did they say had gone wrong when they looked at it? What was their evaluation
the
of the injuries?
The handlebars went through it.
Right, but I want to know physically what was going on in your body.
Well, I went to the first hospital. They said, we've never seen an injury like this. You have to go to the other hospital in Oklahoma City.
You know what? You never want a hospital to tell you they've never seen anything like this before. That's not
good. Yeah. So, and plus, it's like getting the x-ray was emasculating.
Sure.
They have to, like, I got four guys working on my schwans.
Yeah.
You know, I usually call that Tuesday. No, but they're injecting this dye in it, and you're watching the x-ray, and you see it shooting out the side, and, you know, where...
Is that good?
Oh,
shooting out the side?
Well, no, because you see it go down the tube and you see where it was tore. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
supposed to shoot out.
And by the way, you know that at that hospital, that spread around that hospital like wildfire.
Oh,
Knoxville's in there and his penis is wrecked.
Yeah, and I was like, and I kept telling him, like, look, man, it's cold in here. I'm nervous.
Don't judge.
Small,
you can't.
This small.
You can't be expected to perform after that.
Well, you know, I was, as we were in the emergency room at the next hospital, like, I was worried, like, if I ever could use it again.
Of course.
But as my girlfriend was comforting me and hugging me, I got some very hard evidence that everything was going to be
really,
all right.
At that moment.
He's back. He is back.
Now, wait a minute. Does that hurt? At that point?
No, it didn't hurt until I got the catheter in.
Oh. Yeah, those are awful.
And you had that for how long did you have the catheter?
2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
Wow.
And so you're walking around with a bag of pee strapped to the outside of your body for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I had a day bag, which is strapped to my leg, and then I had an overnight bag, which was a big one, which was amazing because you could drink all the beer you wanted.
Never have to get up.
But who's surprised to see Johnny Knoxville walking around with a catheter, for God's sakes? Come on.
Well, yeah. Evel Knievel got, like, broken arms and legs. I tear my urethra. Come on.
So that's what happened. You tore it?
Yeah, it was tore.
And what do? They sew it back together or what?
No, they put a catheter in there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it forms like a stent around the wound, and the wound heals around that.
Oh, I see. So that's to keep it open.
Now, is the stent still there?
No. I got that out yesterday. I had surgery yesterday morning.
Ouch.
Okay.
And I'm walking around free again.
Are you? Dude. Have you shot any bullets yet?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That first thing, that's what I thought.
If you heard a loud explosion and a little giggle yesterday, that was me.
Well, listen, you know, we joke, we laugh, but thank God you're okay, man, because we know it's a matter of time before one of you guys gets killed. I'm glad it wasn't you, and I'm glad it wasn't this time, so you will rise to be a jackass again.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And Johnny, one last thing. Travis jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. Please don't try that.
Yeah, he ain't very bright.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
It's a world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
The presumptive Republican presidential nominee, Senator John McCain, in an interview with the New York Times this week, may have made an error for people who think he's too old and maybe shouldn't be running for president right now, because he admitted that essentially that he is technology illiterate, that he doesn't use email or the internet, which seems like, I don't know, you could look at it either one of two ways. I mean, one is the president is not the guy who needs to be doing that.
Yeah.
He has people to do stuff like that. It's not really that important whether he does. And the other side is, shouldn't he know how to do that? I mean, it seems like a smart, you know, active guy. I don't know how to do stuff like
but
that.
But when you think about it, you don't want the president to go, hey, come in here, look at this. He's on YouTube, you know? Two girls, one cup. Look at that! How awesome is that?
I don't think that necessarily is the page he ought to be on, but he has people who show him certain websites. He's just now finding his way around it, and I don't know if this is going to be a spin problem or not, since since Barack Obama is so much younger, obviously, and he's on his BlackBerry all the time and the whole deal like they are. But let's talk to Senator McCain from Arizona on the phone with us right now, who joins us on the Kevin Beach on Kara. Good morning, Senator.
What?
You okay, sir?
Yes.
Could you hear what we were saying as we were talking about you before we picked up the phone?
Yes.
So is it true you don't use email, you don't use the internet?
I don't use any of the internet.
You don't? Internets?
Nope. And I don't read any of the electronic mails.
Emails?
No.
Okay.
Because it's a fad!
It's a fad.
I'm not going to get caught up in your fad with you kids and your love beads and your lava lamps.
That may have been 60s and 70s.
And your slinkies and your hula hoops.
Okay.
That's child stuff!
I don't think the internet is really comparable to hula hoops. I mean, this is an information tool that is used by billions of people around the world.
That's what they said about the Etch-a-Sketch. Where's that thing?
It's still out there. They're still using it.
I tried to look up YouTube on the Etch-a-Sketch.
No, that's the internet.
Nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way at all.
Whole thing's a sham!
No, it's not how to use that particular item.
So your staff will show you some of the political sites, the New York Times article says. You go to Politico is one of the sites, the Drudge Report, of course. But there's no actual site that you ever visit on your own or that you have any experience looking at because you want to.
No, it's all just too confusing for me.
Yeah.
That giant keyboard, they call it. Has all kinds of numbers and letters on it.
You don't type either?
F3, what's that?
Well, most of us don't know that either.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't have to know to use the internet.
No, I have someone does that for me.
Okay.
I say, right. Show me the latest retarded policeman.
You do? You're aware of that.
Oh, I love that retarded kid. I might make him vice president.
I would vote for you as well.
What about...
Hold on a second.
Whoa, what's going on there?
Cindy's sending me a text.
That's not a text. That's a telegraph.
John, they're all out of large size depends.
Oh.
Can you fit into the medium? Love, Sinton.
Yeah.
Morse code, huh?
Yeah, Morse code in the 21st century. It seems like we've passed that, Senator.
Hold on, I gotta send a message back to Cindy.
Okay.
Cindy.
Is that a fire?
Yeah, I got smoke signals.
That's how you respond?
Stop by 7-Eleven. Pick me up. An Arctic Blast Slurpee.
Sounds like you're sending
and
the same
Slim Jim.
The same letter over and over again. I'm not very familiar with smoke signals, but
no, you're not, apparently. I was raised in Oklahoma by the Red Man.
Right.
What? I think Arizona. Aren't you from Arizona?
Yeah, you're born in Arizona.
There's some red men
there. Or something.
Yeah, they got a lot of them there.
Some red men there, sure.
They're drinkers. And gamblers.
Yes, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you were born in Panama, now that I think about it, but
Panama!
Raised in Arizona.
Right. Panama!
Well, Senator, Panama! We're just saying... Right. We're just suggesting that maybe email would be easier than the way you're doing things right now. You ought to look into
it,
is all.
What's wrong with the good old-fashioned mail? That's been good enough since Ben Franklin invented it when I was a boy.
Well, I think it takes a lot longer. If you had a BlackBerry, you could have done that entire conversation in about 20 seconds.
That's madness! The U.S. mail is fast can be.
Okay.
I got to drop off my bills now.
Drop off your bills.
Yes.
Okay.
Here I am.
Is that a horse?
Here I am.
That's the Pony Express you're
right
doing there, Senator.
Take it.
You have to chase the guy on the horse.
Are you running after him, sir?
Get back here.
106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's a miracle that I am here. It's a miracle that I didn't quit this job after the job that I had to do on Saturday night at home, guys.
Oh. You found it.
You did.
I read an article.
I read an article that there was a show on Animal Planet Saturday night called Dancing with Dogs. That is exactly what you think. It's a Dancing with the Stars, except instead of with two people, you have somebody dancing with his dog, or I should say with her dog. That's the show. I didn't know it was going to be 2 hours of the crazy, first of all. And I also didn't know how much I would want to drive to Rhode Island and kill every one of them and their pets.
After
I saw the show.
They did it like the Olympics, where they give you the stories of everyone.
Well, of course, they have to do that to fill 2 hours.
I know.
Wow. And, of course, Lisa watched it voluntarily, by the way.
Nice. I watched it.
Animal
See, that's
Planet.
Why they make it!
Dancing with Dogs. Here's how the show began.
Grace. Agility.
Come on.
Style.
Now you're out already at
this
point.
Shut up. I love this. This is almost good.
This is Musical Canine Freestyle. A sport where dog and handler move as one.
It's not a sport.
It's a sport, Bean.
Can I just say that on behalf of the people who are screaming at the radio right now?
Yeah.
It's not a sport.
Precision, artistry, and athleticism. A discipline that evolved from a small idea into an international phenomenon.
It is an international phenomenon
wow.
that none of us had ever heard of until Friday, right?
Right.
This is
at stake today. coveted Animal Planet Cup. For most, it has been a long, hard road of training and dedication leading here. The International Freestyle Competition. Who can bring the dazzle, the pizzazz, the showmanship? The stage is set. The goal is clear. It's time to dance with the dogs.
By the way, the Animal Planet Cup looks like a punch bowl. I mean, that's there's no money, there's no cash.
It's the coveted.
There's no prize associated with that. It's just a punch bowl. That's all you get. I guess you feed your dog at it or something.
I think you can stop.
So yeah. We're up and running in a hotel in Rhode Island, and we meet our host, who, and by the way, the only thing that can make this show more annoying is if you get us a gay Asian dude to do funny skits while he is hosting the show. And the show opens with him in his dressing room, realizing he has an important phone call to make to his dog.
Alex, 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. Oh, thanks. Hey, Shelly, are you there? Pick up, pick up, pick up.
Okay, he's talking to his dog on the phone, right?
Yes.
And then they show his dog reacting to his voice in the room.
Oh, it's Alec Mappa. I really wanted to talk to you before I went on the air. I'm hosting Dancing with Dogs. Just promise me you'll watch a show, okay? Oh, we're about to start. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
The dog runs over to the remote control and turns on the TV and starts watching the show.
Do you tell your dog your name is Alec Mappa?
Yes, you tell him. You got to tell him first and last name.
It's like dad or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Your host for Dancing with Dogs. Today, in this ring, we will see the creme de la creme of collies that conga and shelties that swing, all in competition for the ultimate prize, the Animal Planet Cup.
Right, the fruit punch bowl. I don't know if I can even hear any more of it now.
Wow.
Here's a little bit more about how Dancing with Dogs works in person, in the arena, and then we'll meet our first contestant.
Founded in 1999, the World Canine Freestyle Organization has now grown to over 20 chapters in 17 countries. And their ultimate goal? To one day see musical canine freestyle become an Olympic sport.
Yes! Yep!
May I remind you that baseball is not an Olympic sport. This guy wants Dancing with the Dogs to be in the Olympics.
I'm in love with this show.
There are plenty of ways, of course, for you and your pet to be disqualified.
But competitors have to be careful, as there are plenty of ways to lose points and even be disqualified. Handlers cannot use food or toys to bait the dog during the routine.
Okay, by the way, this might be an outstanding time to point that the humans are the ones who force their poor, battered, abused animals into the ring for Dancing with the Dogs. None of the dogs want to be there.
Of course
and
not.
And everything that they get penalized for is something that the dog would enjoy. Heaven forbid you give him food or toys. That would make the dog happy. Let's throw him out for that.
At no time during the performance can any part of the dog's body leave the ring, even if by accident.
What if the dog is smart and wants to leave because he's too embarrassed to be appearing in Dancing with the Dog?
I hate humans. I'm out.
Exactly.
And speaking of accidents, if the dog happens to commit a foul, he is disqualified.
Okay. Now,
a foul
is exactly what you would expect. And they had, I swear to God, you guys, I'm not kidding about this on the Animal Planet. They had a close-up of a Newfoundland. You guys know what those dogs are?
They weigh
like 150 pounds.
They're huge dogs. Yeah, like a mini horse kind of.
Yes. They had a close-up of a Newfoundland taking the biggest, steamiest, nuttiest, high-def dump you've ever seen on television.
That is no way to live.
Why they had to show that, I can't imagine, but they did.
Because it was a foul, Bean. Did they throw a flag?
God, why did I have to see that?
Is there a replay challenge?
Let's meet our first contestant, shall we?
My name's Carrie Neri. I live in Salem, Connecticut, and I am going to be competing with Callaway, who's a 5-year-old miniature Australian Shepherd. Callaway is a frisbee dog, and he'd much rather do frisbee than dance, so I try to throw in a lot of my frisbee moves without the frisbee for Callaway.
Okay, why not just play frisbee with your dog instead of forcing him to dance?
How about don't have him dance?
You know ahead
of time that he hates it.
Exactly. That's the point. This is just like the people who dress up their pets. They do it for them. They don't care how much the dog hates it. It's exactly the case with Callaway.
I think his favorite move is jumping through my leg. As far as,
By the way, that's the only thing that's jumping through her legs. All of these women are old and just dried up prunes who can't get a man, and they have no family, and they have no friends, and they just put all of their time in their stupid dogs and their dancing.
As far as, people in freestyle, I'm kind of out there and flashy and the wild child. For my costumes, yeah, sometimes I'm a little bit out there. I prefer to dance in sequins and spandex.
Sure you
Maybe
do.
When I'm in my 60s and I'm doing freestyle, I might not want to wear it. But right now, that's what I like. It's just fun for everybody.
Nope. She ended up going on the show, by the way, in an outfit that involved a cape. Okay? She actually wore a cape where she cut out like little paw prints and put
this
it on
the cape. This keeps getting better.
All right, we only have time for one more clip, and I think this is, again, representative of the kind of people who enter Dancing with the Dogs on Animal Planet Saturday night. Let's meet this woman.
When I tell people that I dance with my dogs, they pretty much think that I'm nuts. You dance with your dog, you know, like how the wolves, the rumba, you know. So I think they pretty much have to be shown what it is, and then you have to be impressed when you see it.
Nope.
It's just wonderful. Nope. And my dogs and I have never been closer. I'll never give it up.
Okay. She and her dogs have never been closer. This is the last clip we'll play from Dancing with the Dogs. I want you to see what happens when she goes out into the arena with her pooch to compete.
Right now, we have Chico and Diana Frohman. Oh, I'm loving the shimmer on that vest.
They're for sure in the running for the Animal Planet Cup. However, Chico likes to self-choreograph, so Diana never knows what he's going to do next.
All right, music starts. Dog looks around and makes a run for it.
Chico's left the ring.
Oh, what a waste of sequins. Oh, there seems to be a lot of confusion right now. All right, well, let's go to commercial. And when we come back, we'll find out if Chico has indeed been disqualified.
Chico,
stay with us.
Has never been happier to be disqualified or anything in his life because he got away from that bag that was making him dance.
Chico has left
the
building.
Chico's the smartest guy in the room. He left. The rest of us are stuck behind watching the freaking Dancing with the Dogs.
That might be the best show ever.